Good evening, friends. Again, we give you a hearty welcome. This is probably the most difficult thing for me in the ministry is to say goodbye. I have a special link with this assembly. Many years ago, Mr. Lloyd Weinberg and James Gunn were speaking at our conference in Worcester, Massachusetts. I was exhausted. I'd been speaking at weekends here and there and everywhere, exhausted. And I sat there, I said, Lord, something has to give. Mr. Weinberg read that day from the epistle by Paul to the Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I said, thanks, Lord. And right to the back of the chapel, said to Mr. Shaw, one of the elders, I said, the Lord has just given me the signal to go into full-time work. He said, it's about time. And Mr. Weinberg brought us here to share in the gospel. And we've added one more chapter to these priceless memories. I'd like to thank you again for your kindness and for the rich hospitality that I've enjoyed this week. We come and we go, but one day, no more separation. And I cherish this, the road too. I'm going to put that in my file. This morning we looked at a lady who went on the road of determination and dedication. She said to her mother-in-law, where thou goest, I will go. Where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. And where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. She was determined. And the end was absolute blessing. She had a child called Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. And from David came our beloved Savior. God says in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 132, that he caused the rod of David to bud. And that was our Lord Jesus. We must be balanced in our ministry. And I want again to look with you at the end of the road for those that reject the Lord Jesus. Come with me, please, to two scriptures. The first in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 13 and verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. When ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and I was taught in our streets. He shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Second scripture, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A most solemn section of the Word of God. I'd rather preach from John 3:16, but we must be balanced in the ministry. And the Lord Jesus is the one who is speaking here. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You must have the right attitude. You must make up your mind as to where you will spend eternity. The right attitude. And you must have the right approach. And you must come to the right avenue, which is the Lord Jesus, who is called here the Master. The Master. What a day that will be when the door is shut. Think of the consternation that will reign in the ranks of society when that door is shut. Noah preached for over 100 years, preached about judgment to come. They would not listen. And finally, God looked down and he saw the imagination of men's hearts was only evil continually. He said, this is it. Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And only Noah and his family were saved. When we read those words, God shut the door. And when he shuts, no one can open. You think of it, those carpenters that helped to build that vessel. Its cubic capacity was greater than the Queen Elizabeth, the largest liner ever built. A rowboat would have been big enough for that small family. But God made adequate provision for everyone in the then known world. But they rejected him. And God shut the door. I'm convinced that the Master is running out of patience with this wicked world. And he'll soon rise to and shut the door. Maybe tonight. Working with my beloved colleague in Rochester, New York, I was staying with my sister and her husband, and my mother was living there with them also. My colleague was living with another godly couple. But in those days he was out jogging. And in the morning, this gentleman, Bill McKnight, knocked at the door. Brother boy, breakfast is ready. No answer. He knocked again. Brother boy, breakfast is ready. No answer. He opened the door of his room and he couldn't believe what he saw. He's always very orderly. His bed was made. His blue suit in the closet. His dress shoes under the bed. He rushed out. He says, Nelly, the Lord has come. And we've missed it. The circumstances were such. A godly couple. So he said to his wife, Nelly, you call Isa, my mother. My mother answered the phone. She said, is Neil there? It wasn't sufficient that my godly mother answered the phone. Is Neil there? You see, that was reality. And that's what will take place when the Lord comes. That's what awoke me to my need of a Savior as a boy. Came home from school, I hollered, Mom, I'm home. No answer. Finally, into the bedroom, and there she was on her knees praying. I thought I had missed it. One of these days, that door will be shut. And if you are not in God's family, you will be left behind. That's what we have here in the scripture. And when that door is shut, There'll be some awful confusion, particularly with those who have been raised in Christian homes, who have known the truth of the gospel, and they've rejected the Lord Jesus. What a tremendous loss this will be, to know the loved ones have gone and they left behind. And notice the reaction. They will stand and knock at the door. Lord, Lord, open unto us. These are people who were religious people. Religious propriety, Lord, Lord. And there are many today, get behind a pulpit, open up the Word of God, can use biblical language, religious language, and never been born again. Lord, Lord, open unto us. We were in Detroit, Michigan one time, and a lady befriended a gentleman who was an ex-Jesuit priest. He was in a seminary in Montreal for 15 years, left the system, and married a lady in Detroit. So she said, there are two preachers in town, would you like to meet them? Sure, send them along. He was a real theologian and a real gentleman. He said, there's still a void in my heart. I took him to Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Did you ever open up your heart's door? No, he said. Well, I said, that's your problem. He said, let's get on with it. Step by step. And finally, that dear man, he confessed his sin to the Lord. Very religious. He says, I taught theology, but still a void in my heart. And he embraced the Lord Jesus that day as a personal Savior. John Barclay, one of the elders in the assembly in Martin Road, Detroit, now down at Pittsburgh, he had his funeral. He discovered that religion was taking him nowhere. Lord, Lord. Religious propriety. He says, I know you not. The Lord Jesus, he calls every one of his sheep by name. And those that reject him, he says, I know you not. My sheep hear my voice. We have a special link with the Lord Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. I know you not. And every one of God's children in this chapel tonight, a personal link with the Lord Jesus. He knows your name. Saul, Saul, we saw, the Lord knows your name, your condition. And they begin to say, verse 26, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Not only religious propriety, but here we have religious participation. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Lord, there must be a mistake. We've gone to the church and we've taken the sacrament. It's possible to go through the motions of religious activity and not be born again. He says, I know you not. And verse 27, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Religious propriety, Lord, Lord. We have eaten in thy presence, religious participation. And they said, Lord, we've had religious instruction. You taught in our streets. I've gone to the seminary. I have my doctorate in theology. I never knew. It's possible to have the best of religious instruction and never be born again. I know you not. And he says, depart. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You see, these people were unwanted by the Lord Jesus. Depart. Today, my friend, he wants you. He died upon the cross to save your soul. He wants you. Today he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls you tonight to give you everlasting life, to give you eternal rest. And he's long-suffering in his patience. He knocks and knocks and knocks, longing for an entry into the heart of those who respond to the message and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and take over. Think of it. The God of eternity, the sovereign of the skies, coming down to the planet Earth and knocking at your heart and my heart as he seeks an entry in to have eternal life and eternal fellowship. What a God is ours. He willeth not the death of any. And he keeps on knocking at the heart's door, longing for you to respond. Say, Lord, please take over. Depart. What a day that will be. In the eyes of some who have attended meetings such as this, the door is shut and the word given, depart. Ye workers of iniquity. Oh, some have said, Lord, there must be a mistake. We cast out demons in thy name. We did wonderful works in thy name. I never knew. Only those who open up the heart's door are welcome into the family of God. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When ye see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. Friend, you're either going to be in or out. It's very evident in the light of scripture here that somehow, some way I've mentioned, those who are shut out will see loved ones up there. That's what it says, and the Lord is speaking. There's Abraham. You see him? The father of the faithful. He left out of the Chaldees, went out in faith. He followed the right road. There's Abraham. And there's Isaac. And there's Jacob. And there's all the prophets. Do you see these men up there? That's the men of Nineveh. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And you would not repent and confess your sin to me on the planet Earth. And there's the Queen of Sheba, another star witness. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There she is. Hundreds of miles to hear King Solomon, and you wouldn't cross the streets of Silver Spring, Maryland, or Worcester, Massachusetts, to hear me through my servants. What an awful thing. Maybe they see a father and a mother up there. A Sunday school teacher. A friend, a neighbor. That will add to the anguish. Cut off. Weeping. Wailing. And gnashing of teeth. I'm convinced that those religious leaders who send people astray, they'll see them in hell. And they'll gnash their teeth at these religious leaders for leading them astray. This is the end of the road. Depart from me. In our second scripture, in the Revelation chapter 20, again another picture of the end of the road to those that reject the Lord Jesus. John is the writer, and I saw a great white throne. This is not something fictitious or nebulous. This is for real. John was given a preview of the final assize, a great white throne. This, my friend, is God's Supreme Court. And there are not nine people on God's Supreme Court. One man. That day is already fixed on God's calendar. The Lord Jesus came to this planet Earth on a specific day. When the fullness of the time was come, he came. He died on a specific day, the 14th day of the month, as the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of God. He died on a specific day. He rose from the dead on a specific day, on the third and the appointed day. Beloved friend, he's coming back. And the day is fixed. The day is fixed. We dare not predict any specific day. It's not in accordance with Scripture. But it's not for you to know the times or the seasons or the day or the hour. It's God's prerogative to give the day of the Lord's coming. Maybe tonight. There's no Scripture to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord Jesus. The day is already on God's calendar. And the day of judgment at the great white throne is on God's calendar. How do we know? Paul stood there on Mars Hill, in that seat of learning. They said, what is this babbler talking about? A giant intellect. A man of God, and they call him a babbler. Paul says, God hath appointed the day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus. The day is fixed. This throne is great because of the man that sits there. The man, the wonderful man of Calvary. The one who suffered and bled and died that you might not go to hell. He sits on that throne. Great because of the man that sits on the throne. And it was great because of the numbers that were brought to it. The dead, small, and great. And great because of the duration of the punishment from that Supreme Court it won't be isolation for a day or a month or a year. It's forever. Oh, my friend, give careful heed to the challenge from God's word tonight. The door is about to be shut. From whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. Oh, that face. When he was here, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He was determined to die that you might get saved. Face set as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He gave his back to the smiters, his cheeks to them that plucked of the hair. He hid not his face from shame and spitting. What a Savior. How can you turn him down? That has done so much for you. One day soon, we as God's people will see that face. The bride in the Song of Solomon, let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy face. For sweet is thy voice and thy face is comely. O glorious face of beauty. O gentle touch of care. If here it is so blessed, what will it be up there? Here with his face in judgment, he brought this world into being by a word. He spake and it was done. He commanded and things stood fast. He's the God of creation. A word and this universe was framed. But friend, he will remove it by a look. One look from the man on the throne and the heavens and the earth will flee away. This wicked old world will be completely eradicated and he'll bring in a new world wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books are open. God is a meticulous bookkeeper. He's keeping records. And every sin that you ever committed is being recorded in his books. And if you come to the Savior tonight, every sin that you ever committed will be forgiven and forgotten. Thy sins and thy iniquities I will remember no more. Those that reject the Lord Jesus at the end of the road, he'll stand at the final assize and he'll open the books. And everyone will be judged according to the things that are written in the books. Man is getting away with nothing. He is a righteous judge. And the sea will give up its dead. Oh, I think of World War II, some of my shipmates lost. I went down into the mess for supper one night, 5 minutes to 6. They were talking about what they would do when they got back to the UK. The beer parlor, the bingo hall, and on the conversation went. I said, excuse me, good night. Went to the door, and suddenly a torpedo hit the engine room. That ship broke her back. No time to lower boats or rafts. The captain says, everyone for themselves. And those men, some of them, I could hear them in the water yet. We're talking about what they would do in the British Isles. Crying in the water, help, save me, save me. Down into a watery grave. The sea will give up his death. And your British admiral that died, he had his body cremated. And the ashes, some sprinkled in the Pacific, some in the Atlantic. If he thought he was going to defy the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus, what a big mistake. For we read, the sea will give up its dead. And death and hell will deliver up the dead which are in them. And the man in Luke 16, we saw the other evening. What a picture. Complete isolation. I am tormented in this flame. Impenetrable darkness. That, my friend, is a preliminary condition. Because it says here, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. If that is a preliminary condition, what will the final be? It's shattering. They'll stand before the throne. They'll stand in their old body. With all its aches and pains. And they will not be put into the final phase of the judgment. Until they stood before that judge, the Lord Jesus. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I was out in Victoria, British Columbia, mentioned about the doctor this morning, who got saved through John 3:16. Teenager that he adopted was broken down under the gospel. I took her aside with her half-sister, a deaf mute, another lady dying with cancer, now at home with the Lord. And we got down on our knees. And that little girl, teenager, she says, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Put my name in your book. I make them pray out and know what's going on. Put my name in your book. And I'm looking forward to seeing my little sister again. Her little sister had died as an infant. The moment you trust the Lord Jesus, he'll write your name down. And the disciples were instructed to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Many years ago in the city of Edinburgh, my native city in Scotland, a young student of law was walking down the street one day. And there was a horse bolting down the street and the man being drawn behind the horse, raging down the street. And this young student of law ran out, gripped the reins of the runaway horse, and he saved the man's life. Sometime later, that student of law sat in the High Court of Justiciary in the High Street in Edinburgh, Scotland. A murder trial in progress. As is customary in British law courts, before the sentence was passed, the judge said to the man, have you anything to say? He said, yes, your honor. Some time ago you saved my life. When that horse bolted, it was the same man. Won't you spare it now? He looked at the man. He said, yesterday, I was your savior and could have been your savior, but now I am your judge. And so in that final moment at the great white throne, that will be the final message. Before they're cast in, Silver Springs, Maryland, on a certain night, you could have been, I could have been your Savior. Today, I am your judge. Oh, to have an end, like Ruth the Moabitess, with a happy link with the Savior, the Lord Jesus. My friend, turn your back on the broad road and come with us to glory. Now is the accepted time, 25 after the hour. Now is the day of salvation. We can help you find the Savior. We won't coerce you into anything. That's not our business. We just want to see you say, and be able to say, as you leave the building, meet me there. Meet me there. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word, for its accuracy. We thank Thee again for the Savior who is willing to save tonight those here not saved. But also, Father, we know Him to be the coming judge. Lord, take care of Thy word tonight. And again, would you pray for the gracious Holy Spirit to reach some heart that they'll bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and they will meet us there. We give Thee our heartfelt thanks for what has been done in His peerless and precious name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing?